Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. We're excited because John Stein is here. He's the, he's the district manager's fisheries biologist. He's got such a long title. I should have just wrote it down. But he's been here a couple times, and every time he's here, we get such great information. It's spring. Everyone's going out fishing. And so we're going to pick his brain. We're going to find out about what the white bass are doing, the walleye. We got something that's happening with the paddlefish, and so we'll just get right to it. Let's start with the paddlefish, mostly because it's brand new. It's something that's happening on Beaver Lake. Tell us about that, John.
Right. So we have a paddlefish snagging season that's coming available starting April 15th to June 15th. And so the paddlefish in Beaver Lake, about in the 1990s, we started stocking paddlefish through 1990 to 2000. And the reason why we stocked them was because we were concerned about overharvest in some of our river systems, like the Arkansas River.
Right.
Because back in the day, and still going on today, so paddlefish are a source of caviar. Uh-huh. And, you know, in the 90s, we were concerned about overharvest because paddlefish could be pretty expensive, you know. It could be worth several thousand dollars of roe in a paddlefish. So we started stocking these paddlefish in Beaver Lake to have a brood source to go back to. And so in case something happened on the river systems. Well, fortunately, nothing happened. They didn't get over-harvested in our river systems, but we have this awesome fishery in Beaver Lake.
Right.
And they're getting huge. We call them...
Oh, yeah.
We have them in certain lakes around, like Missouri has them in, has a huge snagging season in Table Rock and Lake of the Ozarks. And it's very popular, and we call them the cows of the lake because they just swim around with their mouth open and they get big. So most of the fish in the all the fish in the population now were stocked in 1990 to 2000. So they're 25 to 35 years old.
Wow.
And that's about as long as they live, 35 to 40 years is really old, but they're getting really big.
Yes, they are.
We have some that were caught foul hook. You know, they're accidentally hooked.
Right.
The current state record is over 128 pounds. So they get really big. And so what we wanted to do is allow, we know they're getting close to the end of their life cycle. We want to allow some harvest of them legally. So we have a paddlefish snagging season that's going to go into effect on a, April 15th to June 15th. And in the Beaver Lake population, where you have to draw for a permit. So right now in March, you can apply for a permit on our website or through our Game and Fish app.
Right.
And in March 31st, they're going to draw, and 150 permits will be drawn.
Oh.
And each person that draws a permit will get to be able to harvest up to two of those big fish a year. Right now in 2025, the season's going to be above the 45 bridge. So we're hoping we get some rain and, get the river up. But they do run up in that river pretty regularly if, you know, we get the right flows. And this is looking like a good year for some flows into the lake from the White River. So we're just opening up a new fishery kind of in Beaver Lake, allow people to go in there and snag. And hopefully we'll see some big fish harvested. We're actually going to get information from these fish when they catch one. They'll have to call it like you check a deer.
Right.
And so we'll get, you know, information that we do not have on these fish, like lengths, how big they were, where they caught them. And then we're actually going to call the angler and go out and get some more information from this paddlefish. We can age them if we can get certain, the jawbone.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be some really good information we're getting, as well as letting anglers harvest fish that historically have not been harvested or been targeted
for
snagging in the lake. So,
so they can harvest them. So what is the legal way of catching one? So let's just say you're lucky enough to draw. How snagging? Let's explain to us.
So there are a couple ways. You know, historically, there are blind snaggers that have a big treble hook with a weight, and they just cast out and they, rip it back through the water. And most recently, they have people are using LiveScope, and they're able to see these fish on LiveScope or forward facing sonar.
Right.
and they can cast over them and they just reel up and set the hook.
Okay.
And so that's kind of, you know, that's what a lot of guides in Oklahoma are doing.
Right.
And across the, where they're paddle fish, then, you know, forward facing sonar has been a really big benefit to the snagging population. We also are going to allow so Table Rock has a fishery, a paddle fish fishery, and we're going to allow a snagging season, and it's going to be, it's not a permit. We're following exactly what Missouri has, their regulation, and we're going to allow snagging from a boat or from the bank below the tailwater.
Oh, okay.
From Houseman to the Missouri state line.
Okay.
And
you're going to see a few more boats in that area then.
Probably, yeah. We'll see. I mean, they snag, Missouri anglers snag pretty hard in the James River arm.
Yeah.
But we know there's a population that run up into Arkansas in the White River arm. So we're going to allow that. And so that's opening up a different, you know, fishery for that area.
Okay. Well, now we got to go to the white bass, because white bass, this time of year, people are literally, they love going white bass fishing. Tell us about the white bass population and tell us kind of your expectations of how the year's going to go, and maybe some locations where you might go and fish for them.
So the white bass population, we've actually been doing some netting the last few weeks on the lake, and we have found we ran nets yesterday. And we actually found there was a pretty good spawn of white bass last year. We caught, 100, 250 white bass in our nets that would have been spawned last year. So there's some young fish in the population. We think there's some really big ones too, because we saw some that were over 3 pounds.
Wow.
If we get the right river levels, which, you know, the rain we just had last week is going to help out.
Right.
We think there's going to be a fairly decent run up the White River arm, but we don't, you know, what we talked about earlier is, we think the white bass population is doing they're kind of doing some different things on Beaver Lake. We're noticing that they're spawning in different areas, not just having a big run up the White River arm or into the War Eagle. We're seeing that they're spawning on, maybe if there's flow in Prairie Creek or there's flow in Indian Creek, they'll go into those areas where there's flow, but they'll also spawn. They don't need river. They don't need a flowing water to spawn. So we're seeing that they're spawning down by the dam on the riprap. And like we were talking earlier, we think some of the fish are getting lazy.
Yeah, they are. They're getting lazy.
Yeah.
And they're so, like people.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So, I mean, we're seeing white bass spread out all over the lake, and there's a population that spawns all the way down by the dam. And we've actually seen them spawn, you know, caught fish sampling that we're spawning on the dam. So, I would say, you know, what happens in the White River and the river systems, and what's happened since 08, it seems like, is you'd start getting some fish into the river and a few people are catching them. Then you'd have a flood come in or a huge rain event come in, and that kind of wipes it out for several days. And so if that happens, go down and look in some other areas of the lake. You may be able to get into them, you know, down around Prairie Creek or even down by the dam where they're spawning. So, good thing is we have seen pretty good numbers of small fish that are about a year old, 1 to 2 years old. And those, you know, in a year or two, they're going to be really, really, good numbers of those in the lake just from our netting. So, don't overlook the fish that are spawning in different areas of the lake, not just in the river arms.
Tell us about the spawning cycle. So what temperatures do they like to spawn, and what kind of structure do they like spawning around?
So they'll just spawn, like they'll run into the river arms, and they're a broadcast spawner, so they don't like build a nest or anything like a largemouth or a crappie. And they'll run into the river arms after the walleye, normally around 52 to 56 degrees, somewhere in there. We'll see if the river warms up really fast. We'll see walleye and white bass kind of in the system. I've seen that on the Kings.
Yeah.
But they'll run into the river, spawn it below the first shoal if they can't get further up. But on the lake, the Beaver Lake, you know, the lower end of the lake, you're actually going to They're going to be running up into the White River in the next probably couple weeks.
Right.
I would bet, you know, it's going to be walleye first, then the white bass. But you even have, because the lake is bigger and it's cooler, you're going to have a white bass spawning, you know, almost into first of April, last day, you know, the very end of March, first of April. And then through mid-April, some areas, depending on water temperatures, beaver tailwater.
Right.
There's a population that come out of Table Rock Lake. And actually, anglers can catch them. And if they're generating a lot, it won't be until I've seen spawning white bass like the 1st of May.
Wow.
In beaver tailwater because they were releasing water and it was cooler. So there's a lot of opportunity for them. Just don't get discouraged if you get a flood and they blow out of the river systems. You can go find them in different areas of the lake as well.
How about, and you talked a little bit about the walleye. Have we missed that spawn or is it
no,
still?
It's, I'd say it's still going on. It's earlier, like right now would be right. Going on in the White River and the War Eagle Creek. Uh-huh. That big rain we had last week really probably pushed a lot of them in the area. So it's not, you know, it's definitely not over. Especially, you know, beaver, the upper end of Beaver Lake, we normally get, It's about the 12th to 10th to 15th of the month is normally when they're spawning.
Uh-huh.
So we're getting like right in the middle of it right now. The Kings River, you know, coming up out of Table Rock,
right.
We're actually going to be doing our spawning project starting Sunday night.
Oh.
And that's typically when the peak is on the Kings River is around the 15th through the 17th of March. Hmm. So you haven't missed them. And then, you know, like with the white bass, we're seeing that there is a spawning population of walleye down by the dam, and they'll be spawning in probably a week or two down there in the dam.
Okay.
Yep.
So you also are working on some projects too. Tell us about that.
Right. So we have we put together the Northwest Arkansas Fish Habitat Alliance, and basically we're working with our Game and Fish Foundation.
Right.
And a local bass angler, Greg Bohannon, he's on the board. Uh-huh. And we're basically raising money to try to get funding for purchasing mossback fish habitat.
Uh-huh.
And we're working with local schools to put the to do habitat builds, like with high schools. We've done right. one at Lincoln Lake, Bob Kidd Lake. We just did one a couple weekends ago with the Prairie Grove Youth Fishing Club. Out of Prairie Grove, and those went in Bob Kidd Lake. So we're trying to introduce conservation to students in schools,
right.
and you know, allow them to actually get some hands-on experience putting fish habitat together, putting it in the lake, and improving fish habitat in the local lakes that are around. We also are doing an aquatic vegetation project with a bunch of schools in Fayetteville and Harbor High School in Springdale, where the schools that have greenhouses, they're helping us hold and raise aquatic plants in a greenhouse.
Wow.
And in the next month or two, we're going to be actually taking plants and putting them in Beaver Lake and in Bob Kidd Lake to try to get some native aquatic plants established, like coontail, American pondweed, sago pondweed. And if we do that, if we can get it established, you know, an aquatic vegetation established in Beaver Lake,
right.
in certain areas, it's going to be a great improvement to the fish habitat in the lake, and it'll probably improve the fishing as well, the fish populations as well.
So how about the fluctuation? How will that work? Because beaver fluctuates so much. What about aquatic vegetation and trying to bring it in?
So, yeah, that's why we're kind of looking at a coontail and
right.
Sago pondweed. We know that there's already some sago pondweed that is established on its own in Beaver Lake down around the, you know, in the lower 5,000 acres.
Uh-huh.
And fortunately, it can, because there is the water clarity is a lot better. You can see down further into the water down by the dam
right.
compared to out, you know, the upper end here. And so that sago pondweed has been able to establish like 20, 25 feet below the surface. And so as long as Beaver Lake doesn't drop 20 or 25 feet, it's going to be available, you know, be growing out there. And we think that coontail could have a, could have a real big benefit because it can grow down, you know, 20, 30 feet, depending on water clarity.
Right. So we're gonna be looking more to put that in the middle section and towards the dam.
Yeah, the middle to, we're probably going to go maybe as far as like Prairie Creek, Blackburn Creek, maybe that far. And then towards the dam where you have more, more water clarity for the, you know, for coontail and sago pondweed.
If you put some around Prairie Creek, then 80% of every bass that lives in this lake would be there.
Yeah, that's true.
Literally, this is the harvest area. This is where we grow them up in the river arms. And when they get 15 inches, they get transported to Prairie Creek during the tournaments. And that's where they where they end up for the rest of their lives. They go within 5 miles. I always tell everyone, if you want to catch a bass, if you just go within 5 miles of Prairie Creek, you're going to be in the largest percentage chances of catching keeper fish.
Yep.
Because that's where they get,
right?
You know, this is the nursery arms up here.
Yeah, so especially for largemouth,
they end up going that way. Yeah. So will the smallmouth, will they get around that coontail and stuff?
Yeah, smallmouth, walleye. But if we could get it, even largemouth bass, if we could get it established, and a good example is Lake DeGray. We have been doing projects, the Game and Fish has, on Lake DeGray, similar type projects, and they've had some success.
Right.
And, you know, beaver doesn't fluctuate as bad as, like, Bull Shoals Lake.
Yeah, Bull Shoals crazy.
That's crazy. So we may get, like, a 10-foot fluctuation in a year, 10 to 15, really bad, you know, a low year. And so hopefully we can get the... you know, we can get some coontail or sago pondweed established. And that's what we're going to be working on with this Habitat Alliance in our local schools. We have I think we have 6 schools right now from K through 12.
Wow.
And they're, so we'll all kind of do a presentation and we'll have kids go out and actually pot these plants in mud. Uh-huh. And it's pretty fun to watch the kids, you know, 3rd, 4th, 5th graders out there playing in mud. We'd have some ground rules after the first class. Right. They were wiping it on their face, you know. And anyway, so it's been a good project.
If they want to help out with that project, with the Habitat project, and you talked about the Alliance, where would they go?
So you can go to Arkansas. Just look up Arkansas Game and Fish Foundation.
Uh-huh.
And we actually have a... you look on there, it'll say how you donate, and we actually have a page set up where anybody can donate right to this Habitat Alliance right there on a web page at Arkansas Game and Fish Foundation.
Okay,
just look that up, and that's who's housing the money and helping us distribute the money, buy the mossbacks.
Okay,
and yep.
Let's do one more thing since you're here is. Let's talk about a lifetime license. If you're going to turn 65, tell us about that.
And so
I know that because I'm getting ready to turn that. So yeah. I figure we should just throw that out there to all the anglers that are a resident of the state of Arkansas.
So if you're turning 65, you buy a one-time, over 65 license, and you don't have to buy a license again. So that's pretty nice. You can go to our, go to the Game and Fish website and look that up, how to do it. And basically you may need some documentation showing you're 65 and then it's a one-time deal. And then after that, your fishing license, you know, you don't need it in the future. And it's really nice to have that. And the reason why we kind of, you know, we have the, where you pay for one-time license over 65 is so we can acquire some of the sport fish restoration money based on those license sales. And then after you buy it that one time, you know, you don't have to buy it again. So that's good.
That's good. And so also on the license part, the permit for the snagging, the paddle fish, is there a cost?
You would still, even if you had a lifetime license, like with anything, you'd have to apply for a permit.
Uh-huh.
We're saying there isn't a cost, you know, like we didn't charge for the permit, but it's $5 to run the draw. So each person has to pay $5.
Okay.
But all right. Yep.
So, and then if you get the bid, if you get to be part of that, is there another cost to it, or
No, it's just $5 to run the permit, and then once you find out you got a permit, they're going to send you the saying you have the permit, the paddlefish permit, and we're actually going to have some tags, because we're asking that each person tag a paddlefish with a tag, so they know that it was caught in that season. And we're going to try to get a hold of the anglers that call one in, and we're actually going to go out and meet them, and we can tag them as well. So
tell me, the harvest of them, what are people doing with them after they catch them?
So people actually will eat them. Uh-huh. A lot of times they do. This season is, you don't have to harvest it. If you do catch one, you can go out there and catch one and release it if you want to. Oh. They actually have, there's been some research that's shown that they have very high survival rates. They're pretty tough fish, and they get, depending on where they're snagged. If they're snagged in the gills, and they're ripped up, that'll probably kill them. But if they're snagged in another area, they can be released. So we're allowing, anglers to catch and release as well if they don't want to harvest one. But people do eat them. They'll smoke them. But that's going to be a huge amount of meat if you have 100-pound fish.
And then they'll have eggs, right?
Yeah, they will. They will, but,
in the spring.
Yeah, it'll be in April 15th to June 15th. But, you have to get them at the right time, and it's then you have to process them, and it's kind of a process. All right.
Well, that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits. They don't sell big hooks for snagging paddlefish, but if you're going walleye fishing or white bass fishing, I know we just caught some on squarebill crankbaits, and you can catch them on everything. I've been catching on the pointer shad that look like a real small little shad type bait, and they love eating that. So you can check them out at picolures.com. John, if they want to help out, they want to be part of the association or anything, or they want to find out more information about Arkansas Game and Fish, where would they go?
So you can go to Arkansas Game and Fish, AGFC.com,
okay,
or AGFF.com. That's the Arkansas Game and Fish Foundation, who's helping us with the Habitat Alliance.
Okay, there you go. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp, your lures in the water.